This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts. Religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here at 105.1. The Fan and the Fan Sports Network back again as a collective on a January of the 2nd. Hope everybody's New Year was great. Your holidays were great.
I had a full body boner for 2 weeks.
Did you really?
Yeah, 2 weeks while
I
was out.
Did.
I'm back.
That you did. I want to remind you guys, a lot to get to here in the second hour. The fan text line is 503-864-6326. And give you a heads up on this one, because this involves my co-host.
Hey, who's that?
Well, the Ducks are in the Peach Bowl, Andrew.
That's what I've heard.
So the fan is going to hit the road with a watch party.
What?
At Thirsty Lion's Washington Square location.
No way.
You and Anthony Newman.
Damn right.
We'll get things started with Ducks Game Day presented by Coors Light on location at noon. And if you're a diehard Duck fan out there, you can join the fan Friday, January 9th at the Thirsty Lion's Washington Square location for the rematch of Oregon and Indiana in the college football playoff semifinals.
It's going to be a tough day for you next Friday if you don't like me, because I'm doing the show in the morning and then heading over to Thirsty Lion's, so I'll be on from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and then 12 to 2:30. So it's going to be a lot of dirt next Friday. If you don't like me, I apologize in advance.
Well, I was surprised that you were, because what happens behind the scenes here is basically people are like, are you going to do your regular show with Sprague, or are you just going to do the pregame? And I'm like, why is this a conversation? But yes, you will be doing both this show and the pregame.
I've been asked that multiple times over multiple games, and at this point, I would just assume they would understand that I'm not leaving the morning
show. Well, that one
show
was a quick turn. That was a quick turn.
Well, I got 2 hours to get over to Thirsty Lion. Well, that's plenty of time. I need my time to poop after the show.
We're a Monday through Friday show, are we not?
That's what we are.
Are we not a prime drive time spot, 6 to 10 a.m.?
What do I get paid to do here?
Why is this a debate?
I get paid to do the show, baby. I'm going to be doing the show.
I don't know
you
why.
You give me 6 hours to talk about an Oregon semifinal game? Are you kidding me? Bring the lube.
No, I know.
Let's do this thing.
Bring the lube.
Huh?
What are you going to do?
I don't eat the wiener.
You should tell Anthony Newman, bring the lube.
Bring the lube, baby. Bring the lube, Anthony.
I don't think he responds to you.
I don't think he would.
If you just text, bring the lube.
Bring the lube next Friday. I need it, Anthony.
He's going to be like, what the hell are you texting me?
My nipples are chafing right now. I need a little help here, all right?
Speaking of nipples chafing, how about Oregon's performance against Texas Tech? Their performance against the Red Raiders, 23-0, they win this game. There's a lot to get into here. Oregon, for the first time since 1970, 17, winning a bowl game in shutout fashion.
Yes. What bowl game was that? Does it say? Does the stat say?
I think it does.
Did they even have bowl games then?
They did.
I thought it was a Rose Bowl.
Was it a Rose Bowl?
I think it was a Rose Bowl.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
I'll take your word for it, too.
Anything pre-1950 doesn't count, so that doesn't count. First time they've ever shut a team out in a Rose Bowl.
Well,
or at a bowl game.
Look, you didn't feel this way. At least you didn't want to say it out loud. I know other people didn't want to say this out loud. 6-0 at that point, I think for anybody with a brain watching this football game, might as well have felt like 60-0.
Yeah.
Because what your defense did to Texas Tech, I mean, 4 takeaways. You had the 2 picks on Morton, the strip sack by Mateo.
Yep.
You had the forced fumble by Bryce Betcher on Dickey. And just field position battle after field position battle where you're dominating that category, you're taking the ball away, and Oregon may not have punched it in enough for your liking, and we can get to the offensive performance of this thing, but
sure.
I do think there's another side of, like, you know, Texas Tech's defense pretty damn good.
Dude, that defense is legit, man.
That was the best performance. You're probably going to counter with something that I'm not thinking about, so I'll just say it anyway. That was the best performance in the Taj Lapoy-Dan Lanning defensive
era. Oh, it's not even close. Okay. It's not even close. Look, I was very confident going into the game. We didn't have a lot of time to talk about it because
I was also very confident in Oregon winning that
game. Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, if that was one, if you would have given me the option to gamble college or the possibility to gamble college sports, I probably would have alt-lined it to like 9.5, tease it up maybe, because I think they were somewhere around a 2.5-point favorite the day before the game. Late money, by the way, poured in on Texas Tech. I think when the game closed or when the line closed and the game started, Texas Tech was even maybe a half a point or a point favorite, so much money came in on them. So a lot of line movement there. I went back and watched a lot of Texas Tech's stuff while we were off getting ready for the game and trying to see what, you know, I didn't watch a lot of their games because so many of them were blowouts and out of sight, out of mind during the regular season, sans their couple of BYU games and the Utah game that they played earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest takeaway watching them was, one, their defense is legitimate. I think I had questions going in of how much of that is the Big 12 inflating their numbers, and I think they clearly put that to bed. That is a dominant defense and maybe the best that Oregon will see the rest of the way. Time will tell on that. But the reason I felt confident was in watching Texas Tech's offense. There just wasn't a lot there. Texas Tech's offense lived off of 2 things. 1, explosive plays, and 2, their defense forcing turnovers and eventually wearing teams down. Like, you go back and watch the BYU Big 12 championship game, it wasn't like their offense was moving it up and down the field the entire game. Eventually, though, their defense would break the opponent, and the offense would capitalize and score a touchdown. And so the whole key going in was, if you don't turn the football over and play into their hands, and you play clean, and I know Dante threw the 1 pick, but it was on a 4th down. You're not going to take a sack. You got to throw it, and so that's not that big of a deal. They actually ended up gaining yards because he threw the pick anyways. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to do that, I love their ability to win. And so, yeah, it would have been great if the lead was bigger than 6 at halftime because I felt like you dominated the entire half of football. But there was never a threat. Like, that was the most therapeutic experience I could have gone through as a fan. I still have PTSD from last year. Like, we're a little over a calendar year ago from my team going 13-0, winning the Big Ten, number 1 seed, all this, oh my God, here we go, to never having a big game end as quickly as that one ended. That was 3 drives into the game. You're like, oh my God, they're going to get killed, aren't they? And yeah, they got killed. They were down 34-0 in the second quarter, and it left us with this really weird mind warp of, how do I view this season? Was it successful? Was it a failure? Somewhere in between? And I've had to sit with that feeling for month after month after month after month, not knowing if Oregon was going to get another crack at it. And so to go into a game where even with it only being 6-0, even with Oregon playing with their food and all the dumb stuff that they did on offense, it never felt like a threat that Texas Tech was going to score, and that was a really good feeling yesterday.
Here was Dan Lanning on not having a bye in the college football playoff this year because Texas Tech did. You mentioned your team last year did, and that result did not go your way. They got to play James Madison in Eugene. Here was Dan Lanning in the postgame on that difference.
I guess it works, right? You know, I've been a proponent for games to be happening much quicker for a long time. I think that's best for college football. Again, I felt like this game, the Orange Bowl, first off, was unbelievable. I should have, you know, really gave him kudos to the Orange Bowl because it's been a great experience, but it's not the same bowl experience anymore when you talk about playoffs, right? You know, our guys didn't leave the hotel. They had a mindset, you know, that we can celebrate when this thing's all over with, and they were really focused. But the hospitality here was unbelievable. But we're trying to serve 2 different purposes here. And this is a playoff. Playoff, in my opinion, should have been played in Lubbock, Texas. I said that before. That's not because we wanted to go play in Lubbock. I certainly didn't. I'm glad we played here in Miami, and it was good prep for us. But, you know, last year, very similar situation for us. I feel like that game should have been played in Eugene. And there's a lot of people who do playoffs. You know, I feel like the playoffs have looked a certain way for a long time. We're trying to serve two purposes here. And the amount of time in between games, obviously, is tough for teams. You know, we experienced it last year.
It is a very odd thing to say out loud. That was Oregon's first time ever winning an Orange Bowl. But to your point earlier, like, nobody cares that you win these bowl games.
You get a trophy. You actually, they take the trophy home and they put it up. And it's like, but
it's an odd feeling.
It's so stupid.
It's like that trophy's going to be in their football facility and it'll be looked at with the team picture and landing with the Oranges.
What if you lose to Indiana?
Exactly.
Then it's like, the trophy's still there because you won the game, but none of it makes any sense.
It's just college football. We're all living through the transition to the full-fledged minor league version of the NFL. Yeah. We're already there, but we're living through the natural transition of it. Eventually, these will go away. I really believe it. And I think he, to his credit, he's spearheading a lot of this. We should be done on January 1st. Agree 100% with that.
Portal opens today. Here you go. Portal, see you later.
Yep, portal's open on the 2nd. All the teams. Now Ole Miss, Miami, Oregon, and Indiana. And look, they still have people that are working around the clock for them, not game prepping. Those teams can't be as involved in the portal as the other teams because of what's ahead of them.
Yeah.
And so it's a very unfair advantage to the teams who have reached, the height of success, getting to the semifinal in the playoffs. So we're living in the natural transition and evolution of the sport. I think eventually these will just have names attached to them without being played on these random neutral, quote unquote, site venues. Yeah. It'll be the Orange Bowl presented by whoever at Texas Tech. Like, that's what it needs to be, and it should be, to Dan Lanning's credit. How about this stat? And this is something to think about going into next week's conversation with Indiana, because Oregon plays next Friday. That is now 42 straight wins and 34 under Dan Lanning when leading after the first quarter.
Yep.
And 36 straight wins and now 43-1 under Dan Lanning when leading at halftime.
Yeah, it's a remarkable number. They're also still undefeated in his tenure when he's allowed less than 30 points. And that was the reason I felt confident going into the game. At some point, some team's going to break that number. But I didn't have any trust in Texas Tech's ability to get to 30. They couldn't even get to 1. And so because of that, that's the reason that I liked Oregon to win the game. I think when you get that kind of performance, there's always a multitude of reasons why. Like, I'm not going to sit here a year ago and tell you that I thought the layoff negatively hurt Oregon and then tell you that Texas Tech wasn't impacted by it. If that game was played the week after the Big 12 title game, I do think you see a little bit more
in Lubbock.
I think you see a little more competency from Texas Tech's offense. I think the layoff, it just took teams, again, outside of Indiana, but really Indiana too. Like, go back and watch their first couple of drives. They went 3-and-out to start the game. They had the field goal where they're just like, what are you doing running the ball on 3rd-and-9 from the 9-yard line? It was the Alabama fourth down call. There we go. And then they got a touchdown.
Short field.
And then all of a sudden the snowball started rolling down the hill. The other teams who had first round byes going back to last year and this year, this was before the last two games, but it wasn't like Georgia was doing much. One of their scores early was a defensive touchdown. Texas Tech, 0 points in the first half. Ohio State, 0 points in the first half. ASU last year, 3. Georgia, 3. Boise State, 7. Oregon, 8. That was after the Oregon-Texas Tech game. And so that's just a trend, and I think they were certainly impacted by it. It also was a combination of Oregon dominant defensively and then that rust and that layoff that I think impacted Texas Tech. This is an offense that coming into the game was averaging 445 yards, 38 points per game against Big 12 opponents. They were held to 215 yards and 0 points. And if you look at that 215 yards too,
50 of it came on one run.
That run should have been a 3-yard loss.
I know.
You had two guys that couldn't tackle them in the backfield.
Bounced it out.
It was similar to the JMU run that they had on the opening drive a week ago or 2 weeks ago, that if you take that one run away, you're looking at a team having 170 yards of total offense with only 9 first downs. I mean, in all my life of watching Oregon football, I have never seen a more dominant defensive performance, and they deserve all their flowers. But I also think Texas Tech was negatively impacted by having to sit around for a month and not play any football.
I agree with you, but I do want to talk about the defense. We'll get to the offense. I know you have your bones to pick with the offense and play calling in certain moments and the lack of execution when you have just, perfect situations handed to you. Like, if you do offensively what you did against Texas Tech, you're not beating Indiana.
No.
And that's the difference in what we're talking about, is the opponent here. And Texas Tech had a great year. I thought their defense, as impressive as Oregon's defense was, I was almost equally more impressed or as impressed with Tech's defense, given how inept their offense was.
I mean, if their defense didn't show up, they lose that game by 50 yesterday.
Dude,
I mean,
there was bloodbath.
Their offense gave you no hope at all. And if that defense didn't hang, I mean, that would have been ugly, ugly, ugly.
So let's talk about the defensive performance by Oregon. We'll get to that coming up next. Hour two rolls on. Dirt Sprague 105.1 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
One of our listeners, Jason, sent us a song called Lube. And we're going to need that as a rejoiner if Oregon can beat Indiana, because that is basically going to be the theme of the show for Dirt.
I'm going to have to do some editing there.
Dude.
No, it's
clean lube song.
It basically starts out with some guy in like a auto-tuned way. Lube. And it's just like, I don't know. It's like an electric musical song.
I'm picturing you're my boy Blue wrestling the gals in the lube. Swimming pool in the basement.
Can you do me a can you text Anthony Newman, bring the lube?
Bring the lube, see what he says.
Bring the lube.
I'm going to avoid that. Sakanik made him a little uncomfortable on New Year's Eve.
We
did a New Year's Eve show together. There were moments I'm like, this is getting a little uncomfortable right now. I don't know if these two personalities are going to gel. We had a great time talking ball, but I think I'm going to avoid making it more uncomfortable.
Sakanik and Anthony Newman would definitely have been teammates playing football that high-five each other after the game because their team won, but then they collectively go in different directions once they're dressed.
Yes, one of them's going home.
I'm going to do mushrooms!
Yeah. Right.
All right.
I'm going to be up at 6 a.m. for a workout tomorrow. You got two very different people. I asked the question on New Year's Eve. Hey, what's everybody doing for New Year's? Got any plans? Anthony laughed at me. He was like, I'll be in bed by 9:30. And Sakanik was like, oh, yeah, we're going bar crawling all night. And I'm like, there you go. Very different people right here.
So Oregon gets the shutout win. Really impressive defensive performance.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird, like, you probably say Brandon Finney, and deservedly so, right? He had the three takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, what Amari Washington was doing in the middle. And, like, that's a tough thing with those positions. It's like offensive linemen. You can give it grades, I guess, but it's largely statistically hard to measure.
Yeah, because it's not a lot of tackles or sacks or TFLs, but you're allowing everybody else to operate.
There's two guys on him every play, and he's still bull rushing you and making Morton move around, and then the edge rushers, Tuioti with a big game, obviously Mateo with the strip sack fumble.
I mean, that was the end of the game, right? That when Mateo made that play, and then Oregon scored on the next play, the game was over.
So, just like for you, it's not that Oregon's defense played well that's surprising, I think, to anybody on this program or any Duck fan. It's the level in which their dominance showed of shutting out Texas Tech. You clearly could tell the whole way through that game that was a big... Hey, this is our second shutout opportunity ever under Dan Lanning. The other was Purdue.
Purdue, yeah.
And that Purdue team sucked.
They're terrible.
So, like, this was the shining example of how to play defense for Dan Lanning and Oregon all time in their program history. What was your biggest takeaway from what you saw in that game?
It's hard to just pick. I mean, what they did defensively is the biggest takeaway. To see Oregon do that to an opponent, that's not James Madison. That's not Tulane.
We still worried about the defense, by the way?
Yeah, remember when that was the talking point? They gave up all those yards and points to James Madison in the second half. And, oh, my God, what are we going to do? And I said that will have no bearing on the next game. Werdert was right. To see them do it, it's hard. I can't single out one thing. I think what was most impressive defensively was the fact that I thought they played an elite level at every level of their defense. And that's something that maybe at times they haven't had. It's one thing to take over a game defensively and just have an edge rusher that nobody could block. And he's just, oh my God, he's living in the backfield. And everybody else is kind of riding his coattails to a dominant defensive performance. But you just kind of went over it. I mean, you could give me both edge rushers and tell me they were the MVPs of the game. And I'd say, yeah, dude, they were dominant. Mateo's play sealed the victory. I think Bryce Betcher has played phenomenal football for like a 2-month stretch. There were moments early in the year where I thought their linebacker play wasn't great.
Mixon was really good too.
Mixon was all over the field batting balls down. Like they were flying around. Dylan Fiedemann is a guy who we're not going to talk about much, but he was all over the field. And then Brandon Finney with the two interceptions that ended up being massive. So that to me was the biggest takeaway. It wasn't just that they were dominant defensively or to see them do that to another team. It was that it was almost every piece
working every level, right?
In unison. Yeah. And there doesn't seem to be, at this point, a weak point of their defense. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to win a national championship or even beat Indiana. But I feel like now you have a little more confidence in that group going into another playoff game of saying they're going to give you a chance to win every game that you're in. Because if you could do that to a Big 12 team who was scoring 40 a game, again, I'm not surprised that Oregon won, and I'm not surprised that their defense played well. But we spent 2 weeks as a national media talking about Texas Tech's defense versus Oregon's offense. And the entire matchup for me came down to, can Texas Tech score on Oregon's defense? I knew that Texas Tech's defense was going to give Oregon problems. Can Texas Tech's offense score? And the answer to that question was no.
Yeah, on the other side of it, I mean, Texas Tech's defense, I walked away just super impressive. I think what you said earlier is interesting. Like, that might be the best defense they take on. Now, let's give Indiana their fair share.
Indiana's defense is awesome. Miami's defense is awesome.
And we saw Indiana's defense at Autzen earlier this year.
They're very good.
They're very good. That Texas Tech's defense was stellar. Here was Dan Lanning on attacking the Texas Tech defense.
Yeah, we thought they were. They are a good defense, right? And just, their performance today, I think it showed it. You walk into halftime at 6-0, that's, it's a great indicator of them being a good defense. And they had some guys that played some really good ball. We just felt like in this moment it was going to be about chipping away. And eventually it was going to break. And it kind of broke open with us creating some extra opportunities there with takeaways, opportunities in special teams. I thought our special teams played really, really well. But we had a lot of respect for Texas Tech's defense. They don't play the way they've played all year and not be good. And they are. They're good. We thought it would be about explosive plays. There weren't a ton of explosive plays in this game, right, really for either side. But the physicality showed up for our guys down the stretch.
You're a little more better served, I think, to answer this. But I couldn't think of one in my head except for maybe Kayvon. But, like, Brandon Finney is the best true freshman for Oregon's defense.
Oh, God. Kayvon's,
he's got to be in the running ever, right? Of just like how electric, and he's a big body receiver. He's so difficult to go against in one-on-one.
Yeah.
And he doesn't drop interceptions.
No.
Most of those guys have to play defense because they can't catch. He doesn't have that problem.
No, and I would also add to that, too, the other thing that's really impressive to me is how physical he is in the run game.
Dude.
Like, he throws his hat in there, and he has no problem leaving his assignment to come make a tackle on the edge. And a lot of corners don't want to do that. They're a little bit softer, and he's just not of
he
that
He wants to tackle.
He wants to be physical. And Kayvon's probably the only other one that I can think of. And to your point, maybe Duck fans will tell me somebody that I'm not remembering off the top of my head. to see a true freshman play at that level in that moment of that game, it was remarkable, dude. And it reminds you of the reality that exists for you. And this is the exciting thing that I have harped on now for a long time with Oregon, is that in years past when you would go on a run, it felt like all your eggs were in one basket. And if you don't win it all, damn it, how long is it going to be until we get back to this spot? And that's just not the moment that Oregon is in. They're in a spot now where they're built to last, and Brandon Finney's a great example of that. He's a true freshman. You get two more years of that. He's not going anywhere. Oregon will compensate him well. He's not transferring. He will be an Oregon corner for the next 2 years and might go down as one of the best that's ever played in your school. Remarkable to see a true freshman play at that level in that moment. But I think even he, in his level-headed comments after the game, pinpointed why he was able to be so successful, and that was they were winning up front. Their linebackers were flying around, and it made his job incredibly easy. And it sounded like the pick that he made in the end zone was 100% instinctual, that he was supposed to be on the flat. They looked like man-to-man. Baron Morton talked about it after the game. He said they completely confused me by the look. I thought they were in man-to-man coverage, and I think they were, but Brandon Finney identified what they were trying to do, and he dropped off his guy, saw where the ball was going, and he was right there and made an easy pick.
I thought Jesse Palmer, I like him on broadcast. I don't know where you guys are at on the Tessitore Palmer broadcast, but I'm
a big fan of that crew. I think Palmer's pretty good. I'm a big Palmer guy, and you know how I feel about Tessitore.
I know how you feel about Tess.
I'm a big Tess guy.
They really did tell him to stop wearing the gold chain with the open collar shirt, though, didn't they? That went away pretty quickly.
I did have a few honk moments where it's like they did this pregame thing and it was all about Texas Tech, and then it was like, let's kick the game off. And I'm like, hey, we're playing too.
I mean, I hear you 100% probably feel the same way, but also, like, I have no problem with one of the top four seeds. And we can debate if they were better. Like, should they have been the higher seed over Oregon? They did win their conference, but
the dirty poll had Oregon ranked higher.
Yeah, I think they were the favorite, and to your point, if we could gamble on that game, I think a lot of people locally would have gambled on Oregon sub a field goal.
Yeah.
But on that interception where he basically stood there and Morton just, I thought Palmer did an exceptional job of, like, kudos to Finney, right? Finney's really smart. He's way ahead of his age in terms of how he views the game. I don't want to take, this doesn't mean I'm taking anything away from Oregon. I also thought Morton was exceptionally awful.
He was terrible in that game.
He just stared at that one side the whole time. So Finney, like, read it, but also he just looked at the quarterback because he's like, oh, he's really just going to throw it where he's looking.
Yeah, here we go.
He never looked things off. He couldn't throw over the defensive line. Like,
no.
That is 100% Oregon credit I'm giving. I also just think Baron Morton is very meh, and I think you can make a point that his backup is better than him.
When you get games like that, it's always a combination of horrible offense and great defense. It's never just one or the other, right? Yeah. And so there's always mixtures in there. I think where I would give Oregon a lot of credit is in twofold. One, when you physically beat up a quarterback, you're going to get that level of play. And they were in his kitchen from the opening drive throughout to the last play of the game Purchase had the sack on fourth down. And so that's who they were defensively the entire game. And then the other part of it was they never allowed Texas Tech to run the football.
No.
Again, outside of one run by Williams where he broke it, which should have been a 3-yard loss. Outside of that, Dickey had 11 carries for 29 yards. And if you take that one run away from Williams, he would have had 12 carries for like 30 yards.
Yep.
And so he had no help from a run game. They were living in second and third and long the entire game, and every time they had the chance to hit him, they hit him. And you keep doing that for four quarters, eventually you're going to start missing those bunnies and those layups, and they were in his head. But there's no doubt he played horrible yesterday. I felt a little bad for him at the end of the game. He was crying. He grew up a Texas Tech fan.
I didn't.
Like, that was his dream to play for Texas Tech.
Feel bad?
He was bawling his eyes out in the post-game interview
session.
He's paid
a lot of money. Okay, you guys are pro athletes. You gonna cry if my quarterback loses the Seahawks?
No, because he's got another game to play. That won't be the end of his season.
Okay, well, when the Niners lose in the play, you go, Brock Purdy's crying. You go, feel sorry for him. But we're done with this.
I don't think he's
gonna
cry because he's not done. Baron Morton's never gonna play football again. That guy's not going anywhere. That was the last football game probably of his career.
He made $1 million.
I have no clue.
Suck it up, Buttercup. You're gonna dominate in Canada, dude.
You could go play in the CFL.
Yeah, probably.
He'll probably be a high school Texas coach, I'd imagine.
Let's talk about the other side of the ball, and then we'll talk about some of these other games that happened. How about Mario Cristobal, Miami? That was super impressive. Ole Miss, Dirt threw something at me during one of the commercial breaks, and I'm like, oh, crap. And there's a weird story. One of the coaches at Ole Miss, right now as we speak, he's in the LSU football ops building.
Yeah, you got to. The portal's open. Let's go build a roster, baby.
But I think he's going to coach again for Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah, he'll fly back. Don't worry. Game's next week. absolutely shocking
it's
that they
so
won that game.
It's so disgusting how this is, and just, it's not even a talking point for people.
I gave Ole Miss 0% chance in my head
too.
To win that game.
I did too.
I thought that was going to be a blowout. I thought I'm going to be able to finish the Stranger Things finale tonight because I only got halfway through
it
on New Year's Eve.
We're like 1.5 episodes.
Dude, it's like 2.5 hours. I was watching it. I went to bed. So
I've already had it spoiled for me too because I've been on Instagram.
Yeah.
Too many things in my algorithm are like, hey.
I'm staying off of social media.
You should. They're going to ruin it for you.
Get through it today.
But also kind of a predictable ending for the show. I know where it's going.
I can kind of imagine where it's going.
Yeah.
But I thought I was going to be able to finish that last night because I thought the game was going to be a blowout, and that was not the case.
Yeah. So, like, we'll get to all the other games. I want to talk about the coaching that's going on in college football right now, but let's talk about the Duck offense. The other side of the ball, not as pretty as the defensive side. We'll talk about that next. Big breaking portal news. Kyle Kasper's in the transfer portal, Duck fans.
One that never happened. Love you, Kyle. Big body wide receiver.
Tall, skinny kid.
Tall, skinny kid who was supposed to be a jump ball merchant, and he'd have a couple of highlights every spring game that made you go, ooh, is this the year Kyle Kasper is going to break out? And then eventually he would get hurt in the first month of the year, and you wouldn't hear from him the rest of the season. That's kind of been his rinse repeat now for 4 years.
Well, we talked about the Oregon defense, and we talked about it first, deservedly so. They dominated that game. They won the game for Oregon.
Yeah.
It's their second shutout in a bowl game ever. Their first was in 1917, so if you want to...
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
First time I've ever done that.
You can have that opinion, but those people right now are in their graves turning over in the disrespect you're giving them.
Those leather helmets and nobody's throwing a forward pass. It was basically rugby. Get out of here.
But on the other side of this, they did win the game 23-0. The other side of this was ugly. Now, again, I think we should be fair. That Texas Tech defense is stellar, but...
Yeah.
After an opening drive, which was pretty impressive, it was just the tight end show on the opening drive.
You were an inch away from scoring a touchdown if Malik Benson holds on to that ball, but a terrific play by the DB. They're going down
DB
to flip it out of his hand, then you take a sack and got to settle for a field goal.
I thought Benson was stellar again. He
has
proven to be your number one right now with DeCorian just coming back. Still no Evan Stewart. Your
didn't
tight ends
see a lot
are good.
Of Gary Bryan in this game.
I didn't see
he
him
He was
either.
Out there, but they didn't. He was not doing much.
After that, you had turnover on downs.
Yep.
Punt. Punt, turnover on downs, field goal,
hey!
Downs,
oh.
Touchdown,
hey!
Interception,
oh.
Field goal,
huh?
Miss field goal.
What?
Touchdown game.
My favorite part about the miss field goal was it was 16-0 and the game is over at that time, but
yeah.
I was watching with Teddy. And at Sappington has been great, and he had a great game. He made a 50-yarder, and that was the field goal to make it a 3-score game. So officially ending,
it's definitely. I mean,
it was already over, but like you know. And I just remember I was sitting there yelling at the TV, "Why
36 yards too?
Why
just right in his wheelhouse?"
Teddy was sitting behind me, and he goes, "Why?" We were both yelling "Why" at the TV.
Dude, that's. Like, that takes...
Whoa.
Yeah, that I turn around and I just start crying, and I'm like, yeah.
Why? I was like, that's right, buddy. Why did he can make a 50-yarder. That was like 35 yards, and the game is officially over. Why? Why can't we do that?
You're going to become more of a normal person with this kid growing up.
Oh, it's helping for sure.
It's going to take a lot of the edge off. You won't be on all fours in the living room because Teddy's right there, and he's like, what is my dad doing?
I'm not on all fours. You're taking my belt off of my pants, snapping it, belt to ass.
Can we talk about Michael Irvin today? I think every university needs a Michael Irvin pulling the belt off to show the abs, by the way. Clearly what that was.
Did you see the Duck did that? So in the post-game celebration on the field, somebody handed the Duck a belt, and he was doing the belt thing as they were celebrating with the confetti ball.
But it doesn't quite beat Michael Irvin doing it.
No. Who's our best former player that could do it?
I mean, at this point, Kenyon Barner is the most consistent that shows up, right?
You
as an
need
alum?
Somebody, though, that's like...
Well, who's the most coked out Duck?
Right, that's my question. Who's our biggest party animal? We'll have to noodle on that
I had an idea, and I'm not going to say that one out loud.
We had the same name pop into our head, and we're not going to say that name, although he would be glorious if he did.
Anyways, where are they now?
I digress.
Let's get back into serious nature
here. The offense struggled.
Well, yeah, what do you take away? What was it about the offense? I know Dante had the interception, and you know, also that's one of the best linebacking, if not the best linebacking core in college football that picked him off.
It's also a fourth down play, so it's like you got to throw the ball. What are you going to do, take a sack? Like, you're not throwing that one away.
But it's the giving life to a team that is lifeless that you just worry about now. So I thought Dante was mostly pretty good. I actually had more of a problem with play calling, maybe, than I did than Dante Moore, except the great fourth down play call. dude, you had Sadiq. Yeah. Like, I, what do you need? You threw that pass against multiple teams this year.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty good sans the interception and not throwing it to Sadiq on fourth down. Where were you at on the offense?
Well, I think, look, similar to the other side of the ball that we talked about, there's always going to be equal parts. Damn, Texas Tech's defense is legitimate.
That line wrecked the offense.
That defensive line is dominant. It's just they were worth the price of admission. They were worth every penny that Texas Tech paid on them, and without them, Oregon wins that game by 40 points. So there's that. And then the other side of it is a lot of dumb stuff that Oregon did. Like, Oregon did so many things in the first half. We just can't snap the ball anymore. When did that start becoming an issue? So, now we just can't hike it?
So here's the thing. I actually thought one of the snaps was actually Dante not catching it. The one other them, was yes. not a handoff pull.
And then there was the one that he scudded on the ground. He threw a ground ball. I think that was after the pick, if I'm not wrong.
Yes.
And you're in scoring position, and you're like, okay, now we're not in scoring position
That took
anymore.
Him out because yeah. it was like great field position set up by the defense.
Yeah.
My only thought on that is, I kept wondering throughout that game, especially watching Bailey be a monster, I just wondered on that particular play how much Poncho was worried about the incoming pass rush and the defensive line wrecking the edges.
Totally.
Not a great day for World.
Yeah.
And I know Sukannik has been on the tackles are not that impressive,
no,
but it's been fine for Oregon because they can out-talent everybody.
Yeah.
And that's what we wonder going in Indiana. I just wondered how much Poncho was worried about how the defensive line was kind of wrecking the group.
I just think those kind of things pile up when you're playing an elite defense. And I think you're 100% spot on that that's a big part of it, right? When you're getting dominated or worried about how the hell am I going to reach this guy in this gap, all of a sudden you let your mind wander from the snap and you throw a ground ball to the quarterback and you got yourselves a problem on your hands. And so it was just a very frustrating day because I think very similar to a lot of Oregon games this year, they were so close to separating and breaking that thing open much earlier than they did. Now, to your point earlier, like 6-0 at halftime felt like it was 28-0 because just Texas Tech's offense wasn't doing squat. But you had the Benson play on the opening drive, that incredible play by the DB. If he holds on to that ball, you're up 7-0, and you scored a touchdown very easily. And what does that do for your confidence going forward? Instead, they hold you to a field goal. Your second drive, again, you move it all the way down. And then I agree again with the point. I didn't like the play calling on fourth down. I agreed with every decision that Dan Lanning had, sans one. The only one that I didn't love was the one that Dante ended up throwing the pick on. That was around the 40-ish, 45-yard line.
Because you just, the defense
it's
was 13-0, not budging.
Like, put him inside the 10. They're not going anywhere.
And I tend to agree with that.
I get what he's trying to do. It didn't backfire on him, but that was the only one that I was like, man, when you're inside the 5-yard line, I just have a rule of thumb of go for it because they got to go 98 yards and 3 points inside the five almost feels like an L.
So I want to play a cut with Dan Lanning. I mean, we can play this cut. He's a fourth down. He's an aggressive guy. We know that about him. He's always been this way, and I do love it most of the time. I can also flip our own feelings on it because you and I kind of feel the same way. I thought, you kick this, pin them. They're not doing anything. Also, his thought process is probably, they're not going to do anything.
Oh,
might
totally
even stop it. And he ended up kind of being right in all of that.
His line on the answer was funny because we could play it, but I'll tell you what it was. It was basically, when it doesn't work, I'm an idiot. When it works, I'm smart, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way it works. And so if Dante Moore sees Kenyon Sadiq streaking wide open down the field on one of those fourth down calls, you look like a genius.
I didn't like the end zone one. That was the one I hated
the end zone one, and I hated the Wildcat one to the short side of the field.
Yep.
It
was too predictable.
Right into the teeth of the defense, and I didn't like on the end zone one where you roll out and there's only two guys in the route.
You only
had just
two options, and you're going to the shorter side. I just didn't like that. Like that at all.
Not a fan of those calls. That's stuff that they got to clean up. I didn't mind them not going for it. In Dante's defense, not an easy defensive line to go against. Mm-hmm. They physically beat him up in that game. He's got blood all over his jersey. Like, he took some shots.
Yeah, you're just happy he's still walking today, to be honest.
One of the
with
biggest
you.
Takeaways is that you came out of that game relatively healthy. I think everybody that went down, I believe to my knowledge, was just cramps. Like, Benson missed some time, but
Harkey went down,
but they were working on him with the, you know, massage guns on the sideline and all that. And the other thing that you say to defend Dante in this game, because he certainly wasn't perfect and he had his moments, but I thought he made some great throws and times and then missed some guys. Kind of a perfect encapsulation of what his year has been. They couldn't run the football at all. And that was one of the biggest questions I had going in. Is Oregon going to be able to find a little bit of footing against this defensive line? And the answer to that question was no. Davidson averaged 2.8 yards per carry. Whittington 2.4. De'Aaron Hill 2.6. Jane Lamar had 3 carries for 3 yards. So they could not run the football to save their life. And so when you're a quarterback, you're a one-dimensional offense at that moment because you can't run the ball, and you got a couple of edge rushers who are just teeing off on you, that's not a fun world world to live in. And so I thought, considering the circumstances, he played a decent game. They just got to clean up a lot of the nonsense, because Indiana's offense is significantly better than Texas Tech's.
Yeah.
The defenses, you know, we can debate and, you know, compare. Maybe they're better in the back end, but not quite as good up front. That's a debate that we can have. But you cannot do things in big moments to hurt yourself. One of my biggest gripes with Oregon all year has been they have an unbelievable ability to allow teams to hang around in games. Penn State, Oregon was the better team 90% of the time, and then it's 17-17.
Very similar feel in that first half, too.
Iowa, you led by 8 points the entire second half, and all of a sudden you look up with a minute 51 to go and you're down. USC, they had how many chances to score, make it a 3-touchdown game, and they couldn't do it. Washington, multiple opportunities, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, this is a 1-score game in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. They were the better team in all of those games, but they let the opponent hang around. So that's my main gripe offensively, is that you just got to find a way to put one of those into the end zone. Thankfully, their defense set them up with an easy touchdown, and it was the end of the game at that point. But one more drive would have been great, because if you're up 13-14 nothing at halftime or 17-0, that game is officially over. You cannot let teams hang around.
Well, let's we carry that over. I was going to transition into some of the coaching stuff, but we can push that to the third and the fourth hour of the program. We'll get to some NFL today as well. We know how big of a weekend it is in the National Football League, starting on Saturday, tomorrow, and then going into the Sunday as we figure out all the seeding and the division winners and all that stuff. But let's carry that over, because I think that's the highlight, right?
Like, yeah.
The defensive play is played well. It's the best defensive performance under Dan Lanning we've ever seen. They do advance. They win the first Orange Bowl. They're going to the semis. But we tend, I think, as either fan or media, you're going into the next matchup against clearly a better team.
Without a doubt.
You look at the weakness going in, and I think you just identified it there of the offense has been toying with its food all year long. The defense has given you these opportunities to end this game.
Even the Indiana game first time around, I mean, you got the pick six, and you're like, hey, we got a tie ball game here.
And the offense continues to kind of throw up on itself in certain moments. And is there a concerning takeaway from what we saw against Texas Tech yesterday going forward? So a little more on the Duck offense. How do you feel about it? 503-864-6326 going into the Indiana game. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you, and then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You know, going into the Duck Texas Tech game, if I would have told you and Bring the Lube, Anthony Newman, I shouldn't put that nickname on him.
No,
that's not fair. I didn't mean, yeah.
I'm the one that's bringing the lube. I'm the one that has lube in my pants. Give me the lube.
Squeeze them damn things. Make sure you got two.
I don't think we want to do that. If I would have told you guys going into your 5 a.m. pregame show that you clearly did
live. We're live on the air.
Live and local.
New Year's Day, baby. That's the grind that I give you.
It's my favorite. It's like when Isaac and Suk used to do the radiothon. It'd be 2 a.m. like, Isaac here. Just hanging out. Still here.
You're like,
yeah. You're really at the building at 2 a.m.
Yeah, that's how much they care, all right?
But if I would have told you guys that Tui Oti had as many catches as Gary Bryant Jr., I think you would have been like, wait, did you say the right name? Did you mean to say Tui Oti?
I mean, there's a lot of those stats in this game. If you showed me the box score of Oregon's ability to run the football,
they couldn't.
I would tell you, uh-oh, that's not good.
Well, but I think this is a fair thing because I don't know whose defense is better. I know Indiana's defense is elite. I know Texas Tech's defense is elite. Could be a Styles makes fights thing, right? Defensive line, maybe the edge is Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. And so that's the difference here. But you know Indiana's MO is going to be, don't let Oregon run the football and control the clock.
Yeah.
So let's go to the receiving category. Jamari Johnson and Kenyon Sadiq started out as monsters. Johnson's been really good for Oregon the last like 4 or 5 weeks.
They disappeared as the game went on.
Well, but I also think that's part of the play calling. Yeah. I felt like they kind of went away from it. They opened the game and they're going clear, tight end advantage. Here we go. And then it faded out. Benson's been awesome. He had himself a nice little game.
Mm-hmm.
DeCorian, you saw him, but you didn't. That's not DeCorian we saw early in the year. And
no.
Gary Bryant Jr. is nowhere to be found. And so here we are today. McClellan didn't really do much either.
No.
I just think going in, you talk about Oregon's offense's inability to close games out or take that final drive and end that madness. They've done it all season. And I think just going in as an early peekaboo to the Indiana game, dude, I don't think you can rely on Gary Bryant Jr. I don't feel great that even though he's back, DeCorian Moore is going to be a game breaker. And McClellan's kind of fallen by the wayside with the return of some of these guys with snap counts. It's going to be slow the run game down and have our eyes on the tight ends at all times. And you also saw that pass rush ability. If Indiana can confuse Dante similarly the way they did the first time, I kind of worry that has to be the area of concern of Indiana and not having your full weaponry available for Oregon going into that matchup.
I mean, the interesting part about it is that DeCorian played a lot of snaps, but I'm with you. He hasn't had a big impact since coming back from injury. You get another week plus off now, so you would imagine didn't seem like there was any issues with him out on the field health-wise. So I'd imagine the longer you go, the healthier you get. But I totally
but
get
the
concern. But it
is football. It's hard to say that, too.
Without
right?
a doubt, man. And the Gary Bryant stuff, he just hasn't. And I don't know how much of that is just we like our rotation right now. Like Malik Benson's playing really good football.
He is.
And McClellan has been playing really good football. And we don't want to rock the cart too much. And we're not. Sorry, Gary. And Malik Benson, by the way, has been a great punt returner, too. That used to be one of Gary's main features on the team. But Malik Benson returned one against USC that, you know, helped save your season in the back half of the year. So all of the concerns are incredibly valid. I think you can look at it two different ways. On the one hand, that's just kind of who Oregon's been all year, and that's who they're going to be all year. And on the other hand, you could say, I still feel like there's a level that this offense has not been able to get. And I'm not kidding, like Oklahoma State and Rutgers don't count, right? But against like good teams in big moments, where it's not like they've just been completely taken out of the game. They've moved it consistently. There's another level that I feel like is there that they're really close to getting. Like, I'll go back to two different plays in that game again and say, if you hit Malik Benson for that touchdown on the opening drive and Dante sees Kenyon Sadiq wide open on that fourth down and you win that game, what would that have made it? 37-0? Are you coming in saying the same stuff? And so those are minuscule differences between frustration and damn, what a great day for
but
your
how
offense.
How many of those games have you
Without
had?
Without a
right?
doubt, that's who they've been a lot of the year. And
yes.
So it's a glass half full or glass half empty approach right. What you're going to do against Indiana. I feel like Indiana and Texas Tech's defense are drastically different. They're both incredibly talented. I felt like what Indiana did to Oregon, and especially Dante Moore in that game, was more of a mind warp.
Oh, for sure.
This was a, we're big and physical,
yeah,
and you can't block us.
Yeah.
And I don't think Indiana has that level of defensive line. That was more of a schematics thing.
But they can disguise things really
no
well.
No doubt about it. You go back and watch that tape, and I will certainly do that in the next week before the game. The majority of the sacks that Oregon gave up, because I want to say Dante was sacked six times, something like that in that game. The majority of them, six times in the game, the majority of them were coverage sacks. And it was Dante just like, uh-oh, I saw a picture, and
he
now the picture's different,
hell, yeah.
And it's a play-action pass, yep, and I'm holding the ball. A couple of them were him just running out of bounds, not throwing the ball away, and so it was a slightly misleading stat. And you can go back and look at some of the box score stuff. Go look at the yard per carry for Oregon's running backs in that game. They had guys averaging 5-6 yards per carry against Indiana. They just kind of went away from it, and then you're down, and you got to throw late in the game. Like, this to me was more about they just got physically dominated up front by Texas's front,
yes,
or Texas Tech's front. They could not run the football. There were no holes to run the outside. Inside, duo, two backs, it did not matter. They could not run the football. That's how good Texas Tech's front is. But I totally am with you on the concerns. I've been raising those concerns all season about Oregon's offense, and I think that there's a level they just haven't gotten to yet. And the question is, with two games to go, can you find a way to get to that level, or is this just who you're going to be?
And I think that's the tough thing here as we go to the third hour, and we'll get into some of the other games. Ole Miss, what a performance by Trinidad Chambliss.
God, and he was awesome.
He was so damn good. Indiana just, I mean, my God.
Talk about belt to ass right there. Did Kurt Cignetti take his belt off at halftime?
I think he wanted to. Yeah, I think he
started snapping that thing in the locker room.
We'll get into something. Mario is a game away from a national championship appearance.
Yes, he is. Mario Cristobal.
Good coach.
Yeah.
I had a take earlier like, hey, let's not hold his past against him. And then they lost. And I'm like, yeah, I'm an idiot. And now here he is, a game away from going to a national championship game. So we'll get into all of that. My only final thing to everything you're saying, it could show where they learn and they finally break through. My only thing is I tend to lean more of like, you kind of are who you are.
No, there's a big sample size now, man.
And it's, I agree with your Will Stein. This is his best year in performance, given everything.
With also having Mattingly,
yeah,
frustrating play calls.
And it's such an easy thing for me to sit here in this chair and say this out loud. But like,
yeah,
there were just
the
so many times where I'm like, you mentioned the Indiana game. Why aren't you running the football anymore?
Yeah, they just went away from it.
Fourth down, you're in the goal line. Like, roll out and give two targets when there's like six dudes over there for Texas Tech. Like,
just throw a jump ball to Sadiq, dude. Like,
yes,
get him the ball.
God.
He's a freak of nature, man.
Put him and Johnson out there together. Good luck guarding it. So there's just times where I think it's also a little bit of the play calling.
No doubt about it. Completely agree with that. Somebody texted in earlier, and I agree with the sentiment. I love everything Will Stein has done. I just wish he would place a phone call to Andy Reid on how to get his tight ends favorable matchups.
I agree.
Because I think Oregon has two of the best tight ends in the country.
Yeah.
There's a chance they have the first tight end drafted this year and the first tight end drafted next year in the NFL draft. They were big impact guys early in the game, and then they disappeared. Get those guys involved in the passing game.
We'll continue on with college football and the NFL. Big weekend ahead, and a big week ahead in college football. Loaded third hour, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.